The Pentagon is again sending a warning to Congress. For every dollar legislators add back into the budget, for every program lawmakers keep alive that the military wants to end, basically every change to DOD's plans will leave it with an imbalance. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller is here with details about the warnings of things to come. The latest one was from Deputy Secretary of Defense Ashton Carter. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
All right, so Ash Carter took to the road to a think tank to give his speech about this. Why is DOD feeling it has to keep sending the same message?
Well, this is Carter's actually first speech since the House passed its version of the Defense Authorization Bill just a couple weeks ago, and since the Senate Armed Services Committee approved its version just a couple days ago. Both pieces of legislation made major changes to DOD's 2013 budget proposal, and that is giving Carter and other DOD senior officials a lot of concern. Now, Carter says DOD spent months developing a strategy to reduce spending and then outlined the specifics in its budget request sent to Congress in February.
The package that we submitted is one that was not only strategic, but the thing I want to stress is carefully balanced. We're building the force we need for the future. We made decisions within the constraints of the Budget Control Act. We had to. And when additions are made to that package in one area, we of necessity have to take something out elsewhere. The rule of the game. That's what it means to be in, once you have a budget, a zero-sum game. So altering the package could lead to an unbalanced portfolio.
Now, Carter spoke yesterday at the American Enterprise Institute and covered a range of different topics, but his message to the think tank audience, which included a mix of researchers, congressional staff, and, of course, plenty of us media types, there was clearly a response to these congressional decisions. But I think it's important to point out one thing here. This is the authorization bill. There's plenty of times, and you can, you know, the history shows authorization people on the authorization side of the Congress can do whatever they want, but the appropriators end up doing what they want, and many times the two never come together. So there's a lot of back and forth over something that may have not as much meaning as one might think.
Now, Carter spoke in generalities about balance and so forth and the total budget, but there must be specific areas that he's worried about that Congress is interfering with that balanced budget.
He definitely offered details about what would happen if Congress went its own way with the budget. And one of those was the DOD's request to raise fees for veterans under TRICARE.
We did not believe that compensation could be exempt in this climate. Healthcare costs consist of about 10% of our budget, and we want to give our troops and retirees the very best health care at the lowest price in the country, and we do. But in order to deliver high-quality health care, we need to control spiraling costs. So we made some modest proposals respecting TRICARE, and we need these savings to balance and maintain investments in the military. We understand it's a difficult step to take. We think it's a fair one and the right one.
Now, DOD proposed to raise fees for working-age retirees, impose fees for the first time on Medicare-eligible TRICARE beneficiaries, and raise prescription copays for retail pharmacies to push TRICARE users to DOD's less expensive mail order prescription service in the fiscal 2013 budget request. Now, the health premiums would all be phased in over a four-year period in terms of the increases and would not affect active duty service members or their families. Now, for instance, the TRICARE Prime, which is the major part of TRICARE that most people use, fees would raise from $520 per year for family coverage to $850 per year in 2016. And that's at the lowest tier, which includes retirees who are making less than about $22,500 a year in retired pay. For people making more money, the highest tier, that's about $45,000 a year or more, that annual fee would raise to about $1,950. Now, the House bill included what they call a sense of Congress provision, which basically expressing the view that military people have paid enough for all their years of service, and in effect it says the DOD were rejecting your proposal. On the Senate side, details are still hard to come by. They have not released many details. But we know from our colleague Jared Serbu's reporting that at least the DOD has the Senate has rejected DOD's proposal as well for raising TRICARE fees. Now, I caught up with Mackenzie Eaglin, a resident fellow who works on DOD issues at AEI after Carter's speech yesterday. And she says DOD has been clear about what would happen if they can't cut health care costs.
Senior Pentagon leadership previously has indicated in hearings before Congress that if they don't agree to this year's TRICARE increases, it will require further active duty military and strength cuts. So it really is a zero-sum budget. It's not just retiring ships and aircraft and not being able to buy new ships and aircraft. Now we're looking at the current people we have serving and their fees, and we might have to cut the force further. Those are the trade-offs on the table now because defense has been cut for 3 years now.
Eaglin says that Congress eventually will address TRICARE costs, but not during election campaign and election year. And when Congress does eventually address these costs, it probably is not going to be to the extent DOD wants them to raise their fees. Now, Carter also highlights several other areas, including the size of each of the services, their troop levels, or trading older equipment for newer equipment such as planes or ships. He also spent a fair amount of time on sequestration and calling it irrational. And Carter says, you know, planning for sequestration is putting a rational process against an irrational idea. And basically, DOD is not planning for that $487 billion in cuts that are due in January if Congress doesn't act.
So what are some of the possible unintended consequences that DOD is worried about, Jason, if this sequestration and further cuts would come?
Well, I think there's several that are out there, but really Carter focused on the impact to the defense industrial base. If you remember back in the 1990s, the reductions in the defense spending caused contractors to do a lot of consolidation and mergers, and actually that hurt DOD in the long run because they saw reduced competition for some of those, you know, military-only buys, tanks, aircrafts, things like that. Carter says that DOD benefits from a financially successful defense industrial base.
We'll be looking as we make changes for any parts, any skill sets that are now in the defense industry that if we allowed them to go away would be very difficult to, or time-consuming or expensive to recreate, and which skill sets can't be found in commercial industry. Those we have an obligation to sustain, and I've invited my partners in industry to identify those opportunities for us. That's an example of something we didn't do in 13. As we put together the 14 budget, we definitely want to look at those holes and within the reasons of our budget constraint make those kinds of investments.
Now, along those same lines, DOD has been working on what they call a comprehensive and continually updated map of companies at every tier and every sector of the defense contracting industry. DOD says it needs that data to make sure it can make better decisions to keep industries it depends on very healthy. And as the defense budgets decrease, the department is worried about losing those industrial capabilities. Now, at the same time, Carter says DOD will expect the military services to find further reductions in contract spending. He says Frank Kendall, the DOD Undersecretary for Acquisition Technology and Logistics, is actually paying very close attention to the Army's efforts to improve their acquisition process. The Army has struggled with buying and implementing weapon systems over the last decade.
The Army is making the most difficult and largest transition of all the services, just because they've been really up to here in Iraq and Afghanistan now for 10 years. So in acquisition and in everything else, how they define their mission, how they train their people, how they organize and so forth, Odierno and McHugh are you know, taking a really fundamental look at all of that. It'll take some time just because of the magnitude of it, but it'll be reflected in acquisition as well, and it really needs to be because they missed – there's a lost decade there for the Army that I think is widely recognized, and it's sad.
Now, Carter says DOD will continue to push for better buying across the military. He says the efficiencies that have to come from the back office areas instead of the warfighters end, obviously the tail instead of the tooth. This means commodity IT. This means more shared services, such as what the Army is doing with email in the cloud. And it means more, for instance, software enterprise licenses. But it also means even beyond IT. It means any services from lawn mowing on bases to food service to other non-critical positions.
Well, what I want to know, Jason, is if this is what the authorization bills have been saying, is there any evidence to say that the final appropriations bills are going to be any different, and Carter and the whole defense establishment is going to be in the same place once those bills come out?
Well, the defense appropriations bills are not making as much progress as the authorization bills. I think the House committee on the appropriate side, the subcommittee, has passed the defense bill, but has not gotten to the floor yet, and the Senate hasn't even taken it up yet. So there's still a lot to be seen about what happens there. And as we know, a lot happens in conference and things change as things move from one house to the next. At the same time, I think they are very worried, and they're therefore laying some of that groundwork. And I think part of the reason Ash Carter and other senior officials go out to think tanks is to kind of definitely send that message to Congress to say we think we got our budget right. Now, every agency can say they think they got their budget right, and Congress can always disagree. But I think that there's definitely the warning signs that are being sent as they get closer to those appropriation bills kind of being pushed through.
I like his concept of applying a rational process to an irrational event, which is sequestration, kind of like trying to reason with a child having a tantrum.
I think that's a pretty good analogy. And I think that, you know, what Ash Carter said was, listen, OMB may send some guidance later in the year as we get closer. But right now, we're the sequestration. We're just saying we're not going to deal with it. We don't want to deal with it. It's an awful thing. And I think there's very few people in Congress that would agree that sequestration should happen. It's just, can Congress agree that it shouldn't happen, and what does it mean if they remove it?